Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. This text from Luke is often referred to as one of the little apocalypse texts. A certain section of Christianity has sort of glommed on to this particular text together with Revelation and one of the texts from Daniel as sort of the definition of what it is to have a Christian experience. And that's fine. People interpret Scripture however they want. When they read this text in particular, where Jesus says, when you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. When you hear of all of this stuff, and what they do is they have a tendency then to tie that with particularly the words of Daniel, and they say to themselves, well, this is what it's all about. It's all about waiting for the end times, for all things to be reconciled to Christ, and that in the meantime, it's not going to go well. We know that in every generation and every age, there are those who will look at the historical things that are happening. I'm going to turn off this other mic, sorry. The historical things happening in the world and look for all the signs and say, oh, this must be the time. This must be the time. Problem is, I think it's a misinterpretation of what Jesus is trying to get to in this text. Jesus, in the Gospel of Luke, has been having a series of dialogues, a series of addresses to the religious ruling class, the priests, the Sadducees, the Pharisees. And Jesus, throughout this poor part of Luke, has been recasting what God is up to. And so they now come to the temple. And the folks who are with Jesus are looking around and they're just fascinated. They're looking at the beautiful stones and all the things dedicated to God around Jerusalem, and they get a little bit distracted. Isn't that cool? If you've ever been to the cathedrals of Europe, or the National Cathedral here in our country, you'll know what's happening with these folks. I've sort of stopped going to cathedrals in Europe because you walk in and there is so much to see. Statues and paintings and incredible windows. It's all very distracting. When I walk into the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., I'm just agog with all the things that are going around. It is so easy to ignore worship in those places. We have no such distractions here. I'm just saying. But in a way, that's what's happening with the disciples who are with Jesus. They're beginning to become distracted by the forms that are around them. And then Jesus says to them, look, as for these things, the days will come where not one stone will be left upon another. Jesus is not worried about the end of time, because if you look at the whole sweep of Luke, Jesus isn't that concerned about the end times. In fact, Jesus will again and again in Luke pay more attention than any of the other Gospels to issues like children and women and healing. The things of this world. Those who have been cast out. Those who have been ignored. Those who are disadvantaged. That's who Jesus spends all of his time talking about in the Gospel of Luke. So that when this text comes and we say, hey, what Jesus really cares about is just the end times, we really miss the gospel altogether. Paul sees it. Because here's the thing that happens, and it's happened actually in some of American religion as well. If all you believe is that God is going to come back, as the early disciples did, they expected that God would come back within their lifetimes. So in Thessalonica, what happened apparently was some people decided, why should I go to work? God's going to come and tear it all up anyway and start over, so I'm just going to sit in my barca lounger and wait for it to happen. I actually sort of liked that idea myself. So Paul has to remind them, look, for those of you who are just sitting around waiting for the end times to come, to quote the old bumper sticker, Jesus is coming. Get busy. Live now. The whole sweep of Luke, and I think what Jesus is trying to get at with us and with the disciples of his own time is that God's great coming again is unfolding even now. You don't have to wait for it. It's coming. And more importantly, you don't need to help it along, because that's another thing that's happened within apocalyptic Christianity, is they figure God is being a little slow about this because this was all supposed to happen before the first generation of Christians died. How long has it been? A long time. A couple thousand years we've been hanging around waiting for Jesus to come. So there are certain apocalyptic Christians these days who figure God must need a hand. So these are the ones who've been collecting money so that the temple in Israel can be rebuilt, right? So they, Christians gathering millions of dollars together to send so that the temple might be rebuilt so that it can be destroyed. Because Jesus can't come till the temple's destroyed. Jesus doesn't need, and God doesn't need, our help for all of this. What God does need and call us to is a deeper understanding of our faith, in which our lives together are a reflection of God's unfolding history. When Jesus says the time is coming, when Malachi says the time is surely coming, I think they mean it's here. It's now. God's vision of justice and peace and love that is unqualified and available for every person is a gift that God is giving right now in you. The end times are not the time, it seems to me, when God will just wipe away all the bad stuff, right? I always think of Genesis and the whole Noah story. Every time I read these apocalypses, it's sort of like God saying, you know what? Darn it! Plan C! There's just one plan. And that the God will be with us through these days of hardship and difficulty. Even today, with all of the political things that are happening in our world and the wars that continue to unfold, unrest in the Middle East continues, there are those who with bated breath wait for Christ to come again. And my response is, well, here's the deal. Christ is already here. It's not a matter of what God will do to start over, but what beginnings you and I will make to bring God's kingdom even more to fruit. So the task of the church, the task of Christian people, is not an eternal advent waiting for God to show up, but to see with eyes that see God in helping those who are in need have housing. Supporting just legislation, just policies for those who are most in need, those who are powerless and hungry and discriminated against. You see, the kingdom will unfold. The apocalypse will begin, but it will only begin not in destruction and war, but in the living out of the living Christ who lives in you, in your daily life. I don't want to put too much pressure on you, but the kingdom's already unfolding in you. It doesn't depend on you. You aren't the sole agent of making it all happen, but you are part of God's amazing and gracious body that's being given away to the world. You are the wisdom of God being given as the gift. Now, of course, I could be wrong. I'm always willing to be wrong. My homiletics professor once told me, look, you can tell them whatever you want to tell them, but in the end, they might tell you you're full of it. Anything's possible. But I do believe this in the depth of my heart. The moment that we give up in the hopes that God will somehow bring some cataclysmic apocalypse and just take care of all of our mistakes and all of our shortcomings, we have given up on the grace and love of God. And that we cannot do. You are God's great kingdom unfolding in the world. May you be a blessing for that world forever.